Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
You're listening to the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast thing. Yes.
Talking about stitching today?
You know, we should do that. Let's be different. Yeah, let's be different and talk about needlework. Yeah, good idea.
All right.
Man, you're so creative. You just think of all the things.
I do, all the time.
All right, this time we're sponsored by Avlia Mediterranean Folk Embroidery. Check this stuff out. Krista West, Avlia, avlia.life, L-I-F-E. It's a kind of a different URL. Avlia, A-V-L-E-A.life is the URL. And free needle minder, $50 order or more through the website in August. So check that out. And then Sassy Jack's carrying the full line of the Avlia products. Lots of things. And what Krista just put up, she's been putting up videos lately. You said she just did one on color.
Yes, and the one on color, it wasn't too long. She says she has a longer one somewhere. So I'm guessing this was 25 minutes or so. But talking about color and color in the ancient, how it developed. Mm-hmm. And I found it fascinating. Well worth the listen. Well worth the listen.
She knows her stuff in that area. That's for sure. Yep. And then you were telling me, now we mentioned here a week or so ago, one of her new designs, Octo Cafe, which is an octopus pouring coffee. But you saw more in it than I did.
See, he's not holding. When I first saw it, I thought, well, okay, so he's got like maybe a cup of coffee in his hand, like a regular mug. No, he has, I don't know what it's called, but it's the long-handled skinny thing that you use to make Turkish coffee. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, I've got to get that one. That one. My daughter was just in Israel, so she drank. I've never had Turkish coffee. She goes, oh, Mom, as much as you love dark, strong coffee, you'd have liked Turkish coffee. And I was like, okay, well, now I got it. Now I got to get it.
So now you got to tie in all the way around. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's, was it Octo Cafe? Octo Cafe. So that's a new one from Krista. And then Pennsylvania Posey, we've talked about that one. And then Avanthea is a new design that you can purchase as a table runner or a small hanger design. Check that out. A lot of times she'll have the kit will be available as a bit kit, which is a smaller design. And then the same design will be available for a longer piece, a table runner, for instance, something like that. And then also, if you see a little M, a capital M, next to one of her designs, and there are several of them, then those are the ones that lend themselves well to meditative stitching, meaning you can sit down, get yourself started, and put the chart back in the box, because you can just go, just stitch without looking at charts or anything and let your mind be on other things. So watch for those, because she has those indicated to help you when you're making purchases.
Yeah, and her designs are so lovely. They just have such a nice use of color in them.
Yeah.
And it just I like how she uses color in her design. Just beautiful.
Yeah, that's the one that draws me in every time is her use of color. There's something about her style, that Mediterranean palette, that just gets me every time. So, yeah. Yep. All right. Avlia Mediterranean Folk Embroidery. Thanks for sponsoring the show, Krista. Avlia.life. Okay, we have tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, Michelle Guida is going to talk to us about wool applique. Now, this is part of a first for Fiber Talk, in that this past Sunday now was a regular podcast, a regular audio podcast with Michelle. Really enjoyed the conversation with her about wool applique and design and what's in her head as a designer and so on and so forth. And then to follow that up 3 days later with a live show where she is going to demonstrate wool applique. She has actually taken the time to make a video for us that starts from scratch and takes you all the way through doing a little beginner design that she's put together. And you can buy the design. And we'll be giving away two or three copies of the design tonight. But you can buy it So it's an easy way to give wool applique a try. And then she takes us all the way through the thing in this video so that you can have that and go back and refer to it as you're learning how to do wool applique. So tonight we'll get to see that. We'll get to see some of her other designs and just talk to her. And I'm hoping that this is well received to have a podcast and then follow up 3 days later with a live show, because there's a lot of designers where that format lends itself well to come back after you've heard a podcast and be able to see them live and see their work live and talk about details in the work. Because a lot of times in the podcast, well, most times in the podcast, we don't talk about the specific work. We talk about their approach and their history and so on and so forth. So hoping this is well received and that people enjoy it. I'm looking forward to doing that tonight. Yeah.
Yeah. And people, that was a really good podcast listening to that. And I've done very little wool applique, but it was just, she had some interesting, especially for people who are just new to it. You know, like I said, I've just dabbled in it a little bit. It was just very interesting what she had to say and how to start. And so this should be even better tonight to watch this.
Yeah, well, that was just it. When in talking to her, it just seemed like, oh boy, if we could show this live and people could ask questions, that it would really, because she makes it look like it's quite approachable. I mean, there's not a difficult technique, and there's so much room for creativity in the thing that your mind just starts to go as you see her work at it. So, yeah.
Right.
Yep. So that's tonight. So listen to the podcast and watch tonight. Join us tonight. You can ask questions. Michelle will be there live. And so that should be fun. And then you can get it's the Penny Mug Rug is the beginner kit she has put together. She designed and put together, and you can get that at her Etsy store if you don't win one of the two that we're giving away tonight. And Friday's guest, Karen Bug. Oh, we're going to get to talk about full coverage, diagonal stitching and full coverage.
Ooh.
Yes. Buckle up for that. Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I've dabbled in that too, but I'm really curious to talk to someone who's actually done work on one. Mine is languishing.
Oh, you have that problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she's serious about it. So that's going to be fun to talk to her about that and see some of her work. And then Sunday, the live show Sunday at 2:00 Eastern, Beth and I will be along with Karen Dudzinski, and we'll be starting the Dawn to Dusk project. Finally, after a couple of delays here, get that started. 2:00 Eastern time on the YouTube channel, Dawn to Dusk. We'll get that started. Karen will be there to identify areas where you might be challenged, give us some tips, show us some examples, and so on and so forth. So it'll be a show. If you're doing that project, it'll be a show to help you. And if you're not doing it, it'll be a show to pick up some tips from a very, very talented designer, without a doubt.
Yeah, beautiful work.
Yep. And then also Sunday. What's that?
I'm looking forward to starting that one.
Yes, yes. Yeah, there's a unique challenge to that, I think. Yep. And then speaking of beautiful work, our regular podcast guest Sunday is Nicola Jarvis. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that embroidery work is out of this world stuff. Yep. Yep. And so much fun talking to her. It was one of those where I think I even said it at the end of the show, we got to do another show because we just couldn't cover all the ground. She's just done so much, knows so much. Fashion world, Royal School, teaching for the Royal School. Her own design work, the whole shoot and match. It's pretty special. But on top of it all is her stitching is just yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's Sunday's guest, podcast guest. And I will say, as I have said many times, for the audio podcasts, the best way to do it and the way the majority of the people do it is to use a podcast app on your mobile device and just subscribe to FiberTalk. And you can, if it's an iOS device, an Apple device, you can just use the podcast app that's built right in And if it's Android, then use Stitcher. Most people use Stitcher. It has nothing to do with stitching, but as an app. And you just subscribe, and then every time a podcast is put up, an audio podcast is put up, then it gets downloaded automatically. So you don't have to think about it, and download it to your device, and then you can listen wherever you're at. You don't have to have Wi-Fi access to stream it or burn up phone data or anything like that. So that's the best way to do it. That's the way the majority of the people do it. Yeah, I put up a video for FlossTube people for every show, but the vast majority by many, many factors just listen to the podcast through a device. So that's the way to do it. And then you, the only tip I would offer, as I've offered before, is when you get done listening to a podcast on one of those apps, let it run all the way till the music stops. And then those apps will automatically delete it for you, so they don't build up. And if there's one you want to listen to again, there's always a save option. So you can just click on that. It's usually where the three dots are on an iOS thing. And you can save the podcast, and then it will save it, and you can listen to it as many times as you want. And then you have to physically delete it. But you've heard it, and you heard it once, just let it run all the way to the end, and then it'll get deleted, and then it doesn't build up. Because otherwise, those things will suck up a lot of space on your device.
So. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
That's a good tip.
Yeah. It's the best way. I mean, that's why they're audio only is... Well, it's a true podcast. You know, sometimes people do videos that are and call them podcasts. Those are not. Those are vidcasts or videos or whatever. But it's a true podcast. They're audio. And I love that format because you can listen anywhere. You can listen exercising, driving the car, whatever. Have it on in the background while you're working, any number of things. And to me, it's much more versatile than having to be right in front of a screen all the time. So
Right.
Yep. So Nicola Jarvis is Sunday's podcast, and then next Wednesday, boy, it just lined up. You know, this every time I think we're getting through the schedule, we keep adding more. Karen, and it seems to me that Kim told me it's K-A-R-I-N, that it's Kareen, but I'm not sure. But it's K-A-R-I-N, Karen Hedberg. She is the punch needle instructor at Sassy Jack's. And next Wednesday, the 19th, at 8 o'clock, she will be our live guest, and she is going to, I'll be all set up to do punch needle. Never done it before. And so she's going to take me through it from scratch to at least making a few punches and, talk about that. And then we'll talk about, just her work and the technique and tricks and so on and so forth. And then Kim at Sassy Jack's has put together a kit. And unfortunately, she can't send, well, now it's way too late, but she was never going to be able to get the materials because of shipping delays for us to be able to have it in people's hands. So you can order the kit. It's the Bee Garden Chart, bee as in buzz bees, from Little House Needleworks. That's what we're going to do. And Kim has put together a kit for you. And if you need all the pieces, the hoops and so on, she has that as a kit too. And we'll have a link for that. And so you can order that, and then you can use the video from next Wednesday night to help you get started. And I'll put the link up with this show. And if you order right away, I don't even know if Kim has all the pieces in the shop. She may not even have that. But you can order right away, and maybe it'll come by next Wednesday. But generally don't expect it because just... you know, life these days and getting things shipped is difficult. So, next Wednesday we'll get to do a little punch needle. I'm looking forward to that. It'll be different.
That's one thing I've not ever tried. No. Well, which is good because I've tried about everything else. So I need one thing that I'm not doing.
Yeah.
At least that's what my husband says.
Ah, okay. Okay. As far as you're concerned, you could try them all. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why not?
Yep. And I'm going to try it. Kim is providing in the kit the Morgan locking hoop, which is what a lot of people use. But I have the Case Creations punch needle frame, so I'll be giving that a try too.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes. So that's next Wednesday, and then that'll be the enough announcements for now. because you know we'd be here for an hour just announcing it, just trying to keep things going, keep offering things for people, different areas, so they can experience things.
Right, learn something new. You know, you might, you never know. You know, you might find something that you love.
Yep.
But how will you know unless you try it?
That's right. That's right. At least take a shot.
Right.
Yep. If you hate it, absolutely, pass it on to somebody who also wants it, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. Royal Garden people. Boy, Beth, you're flying on yours. Yours is beautiful.
Thanks. Thanks.
You got the walnuts in. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I've actually got in a few of the road stitches there with the neon rays.
Oh, uh-huh.
I like neon rays. I'm so glad she uses that in this piece. It's beautiful. Okay. Don't hate me.
No, I mean, road stitches, neon rays and road stitches are fine. You know, that's, they create a nice look, but, yeah, yours is looking really beautiful. It's that standard thing. You know, you look at the picture that Debbie has, and then you look at pictures from like your pictures where the lighting is better. And, man, it's a stunning piece. It really is.
It is. And when I saw Jessica Grimm was posting hers on Instagram.
She's done, you know.
I know. And I was just, I had never really noticed in the crescents, that little woven part that she was having issues with. It is just so gorgeous. When you see, like the picture it looks like they're a little, I don't know, they look flat or something, but I know when I get to that point in my piece, that is going to be so fabulous to stick in.
Yeah.
Stitch, whatever I decide, whether I do the woven or whatever Jessica put in hers.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked what she did with hers. Yeah.
Some sort of, was it a Scotch stitch or?
Some kind of a modified Scotch stitch, as I recall. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a straight up. It was some modified thing, but, yeah, she created a nice effect inside those. Those are Jessica's, aren't they? Oblong Jessica's, are they?
Yes. Some sort of. I've got my book here. I could look. It's a crescent. It's a strange crescent.
Oh, okay. So yeah, and then you fill in the center with this woven stitch. So mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of nice little things in there. Yep. We had the grandsons last week, all week. I stitched nothing.
But you did enjoy them, right?
Oh, probably- we had a great time. We had a great time. Yep. Yep. Cooper learned how to ride a two-wheel bike without the training wheels. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, discovered the freedom of that. And, yeah, so that was, you know, it was fun to teach him. And then, you know, that moment when they get it. And they're off. Right. They're out of here.
and then Grandpa's chasing him down. It's
yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah. No. Yeah. He got. Yeah. And that. And then there becomes a point. I'm not chasing you. You just you turn around and figure it out to come back because I'm not chasing you anymore.
I'm not.
No. But it. Yeah. I just remember that with our kids. The look on the face. It's like, oh man.
Where can I go now?
Yeah. And when they got home, I guess he was home 5 minutes, and Sarah said he was out on his bike. He was gone. So,
excellent.
Yep. Yeah. We had a great time, but yeah, there was. I managed to do the Wednesday and Friday shows, and that was it. That was the end. Yeah. And on the Royal Garden now, I'll be putting up. Debbie has done a video on how to do the Walnetto, and so what I'll do is I'll pin an article at the top of the homepage that will have links to the crescent video that I did, the waffle video that was part of a live show that Beth did to show how to do the waffle stitch, and then Debbie's Walnetto. And I'll keep adding to that article as we add other things. But if you're still at the waffle stage, which is where I'm at, you know, it'll be helpful to you. And if you're beyond that, you know, well, sorry. But and definitely for the Walnetto, I'm sure for a lot of people that's going to be a help to have that Debbie showing that. So,
it's not a hard stitch. It is. I hadn't done one in a while, and I looked at it. And it's like all of a sudden I was like, oh yes, now I remember. You just slowly read her instructions and follow what she says to do, and it just like it happens. It's magic.
Yep. That all of those Gene Hilton string art stitch type things, they all at some point have the same characteristics to me.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get started and see the pattern, you just go.
Right.
Yeah. And they look difficult and intimidating, but no. They're fun and they cover a lot of ground in a hurry. So.
It's just fun.
That's right. So, so all of that. You put on the list here. Now, this is interesting to me because I've been struggling with this too, is the impact of online classes, whether they'll replace face-to-face meetings, but I think also so many chapters, EGA and ANG, are doing online meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And what, yes. You know, what's going to come out of that after the pandemic at least subsides? I keep wanting to say ends, but I think at best it's going to subside. You know, what's going to happen there? Because I've tried our chapter, our ANG chapter, the Fox chapter, has been doing go-to-meeting meetings. And I last night was a meeting. I couldn't do it. I was otherwise occupied. But the couple that I've sat in on, after a while, I just have to get out. They don't work for me. But it's the only way they have to keep going and mm-hmm. keep the group together and keep the programs, because that's one of the strengths of the Fox chapter is the programs, and you don't want to give those up. So the projects and keeping those going. So I'm not sure how this is going to play out. Because you're really active in your EGA chapter. What are you doing?
Well, we haven't met at all. And actually, the Heartland region as a region voted it. They just had a meeting. They did it via Zoom to provide for the region to have Zoom meetings. The issue is our membership is older. Now, some of us Zoom and some of us don't. But to get 50, you'd have to send invitations to 50 members to join the Zoom meeting, right? Mm-hmm. So our guild voted as a board that we were not going to do that. I'm going to suggest, though, I am meeting with a few of the members. We have our own little private Zoom stitch-in that I've been setting up. And I think it would be good is if, as a chapter, we tried to do a little bit of that and see if we can get some of them, especially I'm worried more for some of the members that are very elderly that maybe do have enough computer skills that they could get on and join a Zoom meeting, but they're feeling a little isolated. They're mm-hmm. the ones I'm the most concerned about because, again, we don't want to meet face-to-face. You know, they're allowing it in Iowa where I'm borderline on the river. So we meet in Iowa. But there's just no way.
Yeah.
Even if we socially distance, you just wouldn't want anybody to get sick and know that it happened at a guild meeting.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So... But without having anything going on, how many of the members are going to say, this isn't worth it to be a member of the guild?
Right.
So, and we were known, our chapter was known for having really, really good programming. We used to have something called Saturday Stitchers where they handed out a project and every one Saturday a month you get a new project. Well, that kind of died when some of the old members got older, but we had started reviving that where we were having study groups on Saturdays. Well, that's gone
mm-hmm.
because we can't meet. So it's really hard. It's really hard. And we're really juggling with this decision. We have money set aside to have a workshop. Well, we can't have we have national teachers come in. We have big name teachers come in and teach. Well, when are we going to do that?
Right.
You know?
Right. Yep. And that's what the Fox chapter is the same kind of thing. We have national teachers come in all the time and a full blown program. And yeah, they're trying. And I give Eva and the other people who are responsible, Sandy and who are responsible for the program, all the credit in the world, because they are doing everything they can to keep it going. And yeah, you have to keep having some kind of a meeting to keep the members engaged. But yeah, same kind of thing. I mean, we have in the spring, we have a luncheon. You have teachers come in, you have workshops, all that stuff that just can't happen. And then that's interesting that you're doing with a small group of people, because maybe that's another way, you know, another side shoot kind of thing that people could do to keep going, because they're your friends or your stitching friends. And right. You're used to getting together once a month, sometimes two or three times a month. And to just have that shut off is, it's not good.
Right. Yeah. And we need that interaction. That's the reason I stayed in my guild, my local guild, for a while. It was hard when I had little kids and I was homeschooling. It was hard to make meetings, but I did, because that was my social outlet. Right.
Your escape.
Right. I'm leaving. I don't want to know that the house is on fire. You know, I'm leaving. It's your problem now.
That's right.
but you know, so I miss that. I miss that interaction. I miss seeing what everyone's working on.
Yeah.
And we just need to figure something out. And I'm not sure what that will be. We might have to wait until spring to try to start something up again. And what we'll do, I don't know, but we won't. The guild has decided pretty much we won't do an online meeting right now. They're just not comfortable. Enough members of the board are not comfortable with it to hold it. So yeah. Again, I might throw out, let's have a few people set up Zoom meetings and we'll invite members to join it. And that way, at least to get together and stitch a little bit virtually, which is actually quite fun, you know, just to chit chat for an hour with somebody while you stitch.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think on the positive side though, you know, I look at it, all right, as we get down the road and people and you're able to meet again which is the only way it's effective. I mean, that's the only way it's effective for so many activities. We're able to meet again. I think it's worth seriously considering keeping an online component, an online streaming of the meetings when people are together, because there's, for instance, we have members from all over the country who join. And I heard from a lady, I think she was in California, yesterday, because I'm the one who sends out the meeting notices and the login information. And she was having trouble getting logged in. And so she wrote to me and we talked on the phone and it worked out. But she would never come to a meeting because she lives, you know, it would be a plane flight. I mean, that would be silly. But she was able to join the online meeting. So then when I hung up with her, I thought, you know, after the fact, you almost should keep that going and have someone with a camera and stream or provide the online, the meeting online for those members, one elderly who can't get there. And as, right. Here in the Midwest, as winter comes along, a lot of the elderly people can't come because they don't want to drive in the dark or weather.
Right.
So after the fact, it seems to me that there's some real value in keeping that going. And I look back now, one of the things, like our church is broadcasting, I mean, like every church is broadcasting, live streaming the services. Well, one of the issues that has come up is our elderly people who could get a ride to church. But in this condition, you know, in this situation, you don't want them anywhere near other people because they're just too vulnerable.
Right.
But then they don't have the computing skills, like you said, or even the devices, you know, don't even have an email address. And so they're getting left out of the church activities and in some ways getting forgotten. And so you translate that to a needlework chapter, ANG, EGA, whatever it does. You know, streaming is a way to include them. And then, you know, if they don't have the device, can someone get them a device? You know, we all have an extra tablet or something sitting around, and get them connected in some way, borrow the neighbor's Wi-Fi channel, you know, whatever.
Right.
And help them, because to me, that's a way for people who are shut-ins, basically, to be involved. And then, like you said, little groups, they could then be involved in those. And to me, that would be a huge psychological plus, if nothing else.
Right. Yeah, and even, you know, saying, even if we met in a smaller group, or you set it up as a Zoom meeting where there were two of you in a room, you know, and you joined, so you had a designated person who had a device and said, okay, so so-and-so can't attend the meeting, but you're going to go over to their house and they can join the meeting via someone else's device. So they're not, again, there's someone with them. I've thought about that, you know, saying, okay, because you know, there's people, you know, that you're seeing, even though we've got this quarantine going on. Maybe, you know, two people in a room and they've got one device and we're all streaming together. I don't know. There's got to be a solution to this. And I wonder too, even with the online, whether our workshop will be something where it's an online teacher, where we rent a room, we're socially distanced, we're a larger chapter in that we're 50 or 60, but we normally only get between 10 and 20 people to a workshop. So there's places where we could do that, where we set up a big TV, but instead of having the teacher come, they just do it. We do it via online, Zoom, something like that, where they teach that way, but we get together. It's a new world, and but we've got to find a solution for it, because we certainly don't want our chapter to fold. You know, right. This is, you know, it's over 40 years old. I know that.
Well, that's, but I think that there is a real, I hate that phrase, silver lining, but it really describes it best. I think out of this is a silver lining, in that we, out of necessity, have had to work our way through the technology part of it, and now are understanding it. So then that question comes up, all right, now what can we do with it long term? And I think long term, chapters of all sizes, what they can do with it is make it possible for more members to participate.
Right.
And without really changing anything, because if you're already doing some kind of a Zoom streaming broadcast, just continue that when people are able to get together, and then make sure that those who are interested can do it. And I like your idea of, all right, I'll go to this month's meeting, but I'll do it at Betty's house, and I'll take my laptop and I'll take my stitching and I'll sit at Betty's house, and then we'll be able to participate in the meeting there. And then at least she'll have somebody with her, and she's a part of the membership, and then also has a little company, for crying out loud.
Right. And we all need that. It's we all need the people interaction.
So I think there's something there. And I think, and then you look at small chapters. I mean, there's a ton. I know there's a bunch of A and G chapters that are just, you know, a handful of people.
Right.
Well, there's another way. And maybe that handful of people could piggyback on, say, for instance, your chapter.
Right. And actually, there's at least two EGA chapters that are fairly close, that people actually, there's a very large chapter in Cedar Rapids, and then there's some smaller ones close to us, and that people are dual members of.
Right.
And so, again, to say we've done that, where we've had workshops and said, okay, we're opening it up, and we've had them come to our workshops. It would be just the same sort of thing, where we're saying, okay, let's combine programming a little bit, and get everybody involved, and not let anyone be left out, so right. that we can enjoy this thing that we all love and share knowledge, of stitching. You know, there's some of these older members have so much knowledge things and of how to stitch or a way that, they've always done it this way. And then they'll show you a technique that you, it's just brand new. It's just wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, I miss those meetings.
Yes. No, it's there's some real benefit that's going to come out of this, and we need to make sure it's sustained, that we don't just let it fall and go back to the same old way we've done it. There's got to be an effort made to keep using the technology that we've been forced to use, but use it to benefit and grow. And that gets to that whole question of how do we keep the momentum that this hobby is experiencing right now, huge momentum, huge activity. How do you keep that going post pandemic? Well, this is one way is to keep people involved. And, you know, and we talk about older people who are stuck in the house. You know, you described, I'm going to the meeting, the kids are yours, I'm out of here. But, you know, maybe you can't, and your kid's sick, you need to stay home, but the kid's sleeping, but you can't leave. You know, as a young mother, log in and you don't miss out. And
And it's what I'm thinking too, you know, the younger generation is much more, I'm going to say much more tech savvy than I am. But so they like doing these Zoom meetings. I keep hearing about it. Oh, we were Zoom meeting with so-and-so, and I'm thinking we need to, that's great that they've not allowed themselves to be isolated. They're reaching out to the other stitchers. They're having virtual chats, whatever. And we need to kind of tap into that. Not let the technology scare us, but use it. Use it so we reach more people with something we love, and we can share information.
Yep. No, there's people need to keep that in the front of their minds, not just go back to regular meetings. Need to say, wait a minute, let's keep using this technology to our advantage and keep growing the hobby and keep the momentum up. Because there's two things that touch me: needlework and cycling. And this whole pandemic thing has been an absolute boon to cycling and needlework, because in both areas, like go into a bike shop and see and try and buy a bike. My guess is they don't have any.
Well, I walked into Walmart. it was empty. Everything was empty for bicycles.
Yep.
I was shocked.
Yep. Yeah, it's the bike industry is through the roof. You cannot get bikes. My local bike shop, which is they've never had, that I know, and I've been going there for a long time, I've never seen them in the summer, which is their busy time, obviously. I've never seen them have four mechanics working continuously. And that's the way it's been this summer, and they still can't keep up. They're running a week to 2 weeks behind with bike building, bike repair, bike upgrades, whatever it might be. And we went in last week, because Cooper had, you know, one of those catastrophic crashes, learning to ride with the two wheels, and went down on his face, and his helmet saved him. He'd have been off to the hospital, but his helmet saved him. Well, when you have a crash like that with a bike helmet, you replace the helmet. You don't keep it. You just replace it, because it may be damaged inside. It's not worth the risk. So we went in to get him a helmet to the bike shop. And I'd been in there 4 weeks prior, and he had a decent amount, like maybe 60% of his bikes for sale space was full. In 3 weeks, we went in there, and he had four used bikes.
Oh, my.
And two electric bikes, and the rest of it was empty.
Wow.
I mean, that's the kind of a business that they're doing. Can't get parts. Can't get parts of any kind. I ordered tubes. The tubes they carry, I don't like. So I ordered bike tubes. I had to wait almost 4 weeks for bike tubes because they don't exist.
Oh, no. See, and we have a tandem. We haven't ridden in a long time. And I told my husband, I said, see if we can pump up the tires. Well, I think one of them's got a flat and it needs a new tube. So you're saying he's going to have to probably do a little extra searching to get a tube so we can ride that tandem. Man.
But that, and it's the same thing with needlework, like Kim at Sassy Jack's, I'll ship it to you, but I don't have all the threads and I can't get them right away.
Right.
And there's nothing the stores can do. They, you can order all you want, you can scream and holler all you want, but it doesn't, and the distributor doesn't have them, and the supplier can't deliver them, and everybody just gets to
Right.
wait. And so those two areas have really, really benefited from,
And what interests me is, what are the, it is interesting that there's so many people are so excited about stitching right now. I even had a niece, my sister reached out to me and said one of my nieces might be interested in stitching. I never quite connected with her on that. I'm going to have to probe that a little more. But I wonder why, why is stitching, I mean, cycling I can understand. People want to get out there. They're tired of being inside. It's something they did as a kid. It's like, oh, I can ride a bike. Let's go for a bike ride. But stitching, I think when I saw Michelle's video, I mean, I listened to the podcast. She was talking. You were talking about how home trends, how she used hers to decorate the walls, or, and I think that is a trend right now with people. I tend to stitch large things, and what do you do with them once you've stitched so many of them? That's the problem. And then I started watching Flosstube. This was 3 years ago or so, and people were stitching all these smalls, and I thought, what do you do with those little pillows? I mean, what are you going to do with them? I mean, they're knickknacks and they gather dust was what I thought. But then I would see how some of the floss tubers would take them and they'd group them together. So they, I'm gonna, one of the, one lady took a bunch of the prairie schoolers and they were blue. So they were some sort of sea thing and she put them in a bowl. And I thought, okay, now I get it. Now I, she's, and she trades them out seasonally. And I think that's what appeals, is appealing to people is they realize, unlike me, I do all these big pieces and eventually, yeah, what do you do with them? But if you like to have to decorate your home, it's a way to say, I did make this. It's mine. It's in my hand. It keeps me busy, keeps my mind occupied, something I love to do. And I make my home look nice. And I'm just curious, are people, it seems like people are, what I watch, at least on FlossTube, it seems like either people are either doing those huge samplers or little tiny things. Maybe they want to have a big sampler wall or something. I don't know, but
Now, well, it's the friend of mine who posted they bought a trampoline and posted his two teenage girls out playing on the trampoline, and his statement was they found the end of the internet. What now? What do we do? Well, we buy a trampoline, but in our world, we start stitching and we start stitching more. But that was the thing. Yeah, I enjoyed that with Michelle Guida, looking at her designs, and you could see that it more of a primitive bent to them, but you could see that home decorating thing, like you said, a basket of them here, or put them in some arrangement over here, and seasonal, or I just want to have a blue theme this month, so I'm going to change my living room to that. And
Right.
you make them. And all those small ones, I think I don't. Yeah, I'm a large project person too. I don't do the small ones. I don't know why, but I assume that they stitch up fairly fast. I mean, people go through them like water. So,
Right.
you can put those things together, use them to decorate your house. And what better than that, instead of going to Pier One and buying a bunch of trinkets there,
Right. Right. And actually it's a trend if you some of the magazines, if you look through them, you will see like pillows that are cross-stitched or needle pointed, and you're like, okay, these are made in China or somewhere. Who knows where they're made? But you're like, you could actually make your own and decorate that way. And I think it's interesting. It's kind of like it's a fashion trend even now. But I think people are sticking with it too because you are stuck home. You are home, and this, and all of a sudden you realize, here I am in my environment. How can I make this more me? This is done with my hand. I've made it. But this is what I love. I know Michelle's had those crows. And crows seem to be a theme in cross stitch, but too. But I thought, yeah, if you like that, it would look so neat to do a series of little. You could do a whole vignette of objects that you like, and I like that. I just I'm glad people are taking that up and do. I hate seeing people all the time on their phones clicking, and it's like, oh, that's really bad for your brain. But stitching does something. It's the meditative quality. You have something when you're to show when you're done, even if it takes you 3 years to finish a piece. You have something when you're done. You have something you can share with somebody else. I don't know.
Oh yeah, that's just it. And yeah, instead of 2 hours on the phone scrolling through Instagram, do 15 minutes of that and do 1 hour and 45 of stitching, and you'll get more out of it, quite frankly.
Right, right, right.
And I'm just as guilty as the next one of sitting there and scrolling through all that stuff. But
Oh, I
yeah,
know.
it's
And it, especially when you're tired,
yeah. Yeah.
But.
And that's the other thing is didn't stitch last week when the boys were here. I'm just too tired. And I know if I sit down and stitch, I'm just gonna have to tear it out. So yeah, I'm one of those. If I get to an evening and I sit down in a chair and I just want to go to sleep, I do not start stitching because I just know I'm gonna wake up in the morning and go, "What were you looking at?"
Well, and if I'm tired, like last, we had that storm through move through our area, so I was literally hauling limbs all day yesterday, and I was tired when I sat down, and I thought, but my mind was busy,
There.
so I took out a very, very simple Mill Hill bead kit. I know I'm not. There's a complicated section, and then there's one section where you're stitching little X's of 10 in a row, and it's just count to 10 out and you come back. You don't even need to count anymore. You just hit the wall and you go back and forth. And I thought, okay, I'm gonna put one thread length in. And it did. It calmed me down enough that I could sleep because my mind was going a million miles a minute. And I thought, oh, I gotta do something or I'm not gonna be able to sleep tonight. So I will stitch on. Now so I did not take out Royal Garden. I didn't take out anything complicated to stitch, anything that needed to lay my threads perfectly. I took out something that I could just, I knew the pattern. I knew, and I'm either not even Anya's Day, which I'm also working on, but that's on dark blue fabric with white, and my eyes were tired, and I knew there was no way I was going to be able to see those little holes to stitch that. So even though it's, I know how the pattern goes and I can pretty much just do it without thinking, I knew I wouldn't be able to see it. But I always keep one piece going that it is the piece I work on when I'm tired.
Simple, like the Crystal West Avlia meditative stuff, just stuff you could, you just sit down and just let it all drain out of you and let the stitching do it for you.
Right. Something a larger count,
No, that's true. But yeah, for me, if physically tired is one thing, but when you're mentally tired to sit down at, for instance, a Royal Garden, you're just wasting your time.
Yeah, because especially, and to count it, I did one night. I tried to work on it and I went back the next day and I was like, I did those wrong and they need to come out. Out they come.
They look perfect when I went to bed, but they're not.
They're not. They're not. They're coming out. I should have known better. I should have known better.
Yeah, no, that's where I leave that stuff. Just lay right there. Just don't even try. Nope. Not worth it. All right. I think so.
All right.
I think so. Speaking of things you need to pay attention, before we go, Jennifer Kopasz-Rose, the Tamari Balls.
Oh, weren't those were cool.
See, I gotta.
But I know.
I gotta
And
try.
okay, so at one point, EGA, and I don't see it now, I'm looking at my book, they used to have a correspondence course for
Oh,
Tamari
yeah.
balls. Oh, yes, they do. No, that's not it. Wait, I'm looking. Yes, they do, by Barbara Seuss.
Well, she's the one that the book that Jennifer had.
Oh, but you know what? It looks like it's retiring. I know, I know. You'll have to go online and look.
All right, so that's an EGA one. Okay.
Yes, it's an EGA Fancy Flowers Tamari. And yes, and because when she mentioned her name, I was like, And I don't.
Yeah, because that's the author, the book she showed, Barbara Seuss, the author of the Japanese Tamari book that she said was the book to get if you want to give it a try. So there's a course that's retiring, so act quickly.
Yes, and I don't know it. This is was published at the beginning of the year, so I don't know if it's when it was going to retire. So if you go online, you can find that out.
Yeah.
And
Because
yeah.
that struck me as something doing Tamari balls once you get the setup work done. That struck me as something you could sit down in a recliner, put your feet up, and do those.
Yes.
Don't have to have a stand. Can't use a stand. There's nothing to hold anything. Oh man, those things are so cool. And you talk about something that you put a bunch of them in a basket.
Yes, I was just thinking the same
Oh.
thing. And there's someone in my guild who used to do these, and I cannot remember her, who it was. I'll have to put a little feeler out. Yes, and she brought a bowl of them in, and they are just beautiful. When stitched up, they're just
Yep.
so, and in person, they're just gorgeous.
Yeah, no, I see. All I've ever seen is pictures, so I got to believe in person they're just almost mind-blowing. Yeah.
And the geometry of it.
Right. Right. No, that one after Jennifer's little visit with us last Friday, that one won't leave me alone. It's just, oh man. Oh.
Just what you need, another project.
That's right. That's right. And that's one of those where you could suck up a lot of stash thread too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, a lot of it in a hurry. Yeah, that's on the list. So, all right, I got to check out the course now. Jeez.
Sorry. Hopefully it's not retired yet and you can
That's okay. I
finish
was
it.
going to buy the book anyway, just because.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the book would be good. At least that'd be a good thing to sit and drool over when you're too tired to
Right,
stitch.
right. Yeah, just sit there and leaf through it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Oh, and Jennifer gonna do a little co-hosting with us starting next week. So,
Excellent.
yeah, next Wednesday we're gonna have a little conversation and see how it works out co-hosting with Jennifer. So looking forward to that, 'cause boy, I was she does she has the same disease you and I have, everything.
Let's try it.
Yeah, why not? Why not? So yeah, looking forward to that next week. So that'll be the Wednesday show. All right, now we're gonna stop.
All right.
Yeah, I just saw that there on the notes about the Tamari balls, and then it brought back all those thinking thoughts. Yeah, they're so cool.
They are.
Yep. And it didn't seem like well, I mean, there's some prep work to them, but even that was pretty mindless. Just make sure it's round
Right.
when you're done. So, yeah. Those needles, holy smokes.
I know, that's what I was thinking. All the when she showed that, I was like, oh, all those little pins you got to stick in there.
Yeah. And I wondered what they used for needles. They're like They're like swords.
Yes.
Yeah. But oh yeah, okay. That's on the list for sure. Yep, on the list. All right, that's it. We're done.
All right.
Join us tonight. If you listen to this afternoon, join us tonight for a little wool. Wool
Wool
what?
embroidery. It's called wool embroidery. Wool
Wool
applique.
appliqué. There we go. Yeah, okay, I need a nap. Wool appliqué with with Michelle, and check out her beginner kit that she put together for the show. So that's good.
All right, see you tonight.
Bye.